again. Just lost you rock and roll. Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings, Kiss Army.
And Mr. D-Rock.
How's it going?
It's like if everybody could have heard you like 3 minutes ago.
Oh, man, my eyes are tearing up and everything, man.
And D-Rock had to have some chest surgery. And he's still in pain for it. But, man, you know what he said? He's like, I'm going to do this for our listeners, man.
For the army.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Push through the pain.
Yeah, push through the pain. Anyway, well, thank you guys for listening. This is Podcast Rock City. If you've never heard Podcast Rock City, we are a fan-run KISS podcast. We do not pretend to be any kind of experts. We just give you our opinion and discuss our topics. There's some news.
Podcast Rock City News.
The set list.
I saw that. I'm excited.
So our set list from Reno was pretty cool. I thought it was a good set list.
Yeah, kind of different.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's go. I'll just say the names of the songs. When I get to one that surprises you, you just say stop, okay?
All right.
Deuce, Love Gun.
Stop for 1 second. I think it's kind of interesting that Love Gun's right there, second song, and, you know?
You know, and then Shout It Out Loud's third.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me as much, though. I've seen that kind of up early in the set quite a few times, but Love Gun, if it's usually that early, it's the first song, you know what I mean?
No, that's true.
So it's kind of interesting to have it Deuce into Love Gun. Good opening 1-2 punch for sure.
Yep. Okay, then we get Shout It Out Loud, Hide Your Heart.
Right there. It's like, boom, Hide Your Heart.
Yeah. I Love It Loud, Crazy, Crazy Nights.
And then boom, Crazy, Crazy Nights.
Yeah, man. That's so cool. Firehouse, happy about that. I like that song. Flaming Youth. Is starting to become, you know, something that they leave.
It's not surprising anymore.
This one for me was Cold Gin.
Yeah, it's been a little while since they've done Cold Gin, I think.
War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Say Yeah.
I like that song live.
Man, that's so crazy that they put that in, but good for them.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that this set list might have anything to do with Gene doing all his solo gigs and like mixing it up and seeing everyone go crazy? So now he understands it. So maybe he can be on Eric and Tommy's side when it comes to pulling a little bit deeper cuts. Not that any of these are that deep, but you know what I'm saying? They've mixed it up just like he's been doing. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Yeah, I think it's cool that they're actually starting to bring back some songs, you know, that they haven't really played a lot, you know, and starting to throw them in there instead of keeping with the same formula for every show.
I agree 100%. That, you know, the fact that they threw in... Yeah, I mean, Gene's got to be sitting on stage going, oh, man, people really like this.
Right. And he's never seen it firsthand. Like, you know, Paul had seen it on his solo tours, but Gene's never really witnessed that, probably. Not firsthand like that, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. After that is Shock Me. I still wish they would just let Tommy song.
Yeah, I'd rather them not do Shock Me. If they're going to do Ace song, pick any other Ace song, you know?
But not a signature song. Lick It Up. Let Me Go Rock and Roll. That's cool. Black Diamond. Psycho Circus. Detroit Rock City. Rock and Roll All Night.
Weird Psycho Circus is that far towards the end.
Yeah, because it's first a lot.
It's cool, though.
Yeah, you know, I think this was a pretty good set list. I'm not disappointed at all. If I would have seen the show, I mean, Say Yeah is really a shocker.
Yeah, I mean, I think it rocks live, though. I don't so much like it on Sonic Boom, but live, it's always kind of rocked, I thought.
Yeah.
And just strange that they would throw that one out. Nothing off a monster, but they're going back to Sonic Boom. You know what I mean?
Well, That's what's weird about a lot of different songs, though, is you can hear them on the CD and not really be that thrilled with it, you know, or, you know, think it's not, you know, one of their greatest ones. But then when you actually see it live, you know, it just gives that song just a whole different feel and you get a different perspective on it, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I think it's pretty groovy that they're mixing it up, man. You know, what would be really cool is if they were like a lot of other bands who, you know, mix it up every night. And then you never know what they're going to do. And I think that if they did that, they might sell a few more tickets because everyone would be like, man, what the hell are they going to play tonight? You know, you never know.
You know, one of the things, you know, I'm no big Pearl Jam fan, but from what I understand, those guys, every night, it's different.
I dig that. Oh, yeah,
they always had a different set list every night.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, yeah, you know.
Pearl Jam's a great band, you know. I mean, I kind of phased out of them after their second record a little bit, but, I mean, they just got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and, you know, they deserve it because, think about it, they've been going for how many years now, and they never took a break, even though a lot of people quit listening. They were still huge, you know.
But they still have, like, very loyal fans, man. They're, you know.
Because they're still good, and Eddie sounds exactly the way he always has, you know.
Yeah, I had just gotten that last album they came out with a couple years ago, and it's still pretty good.
Man, you want to hear something really crazy? Is you know that they produce, like a poster for every show. So like tonight's poster is not the same as tomorrow night's poster, right? And you can only buy two, okay? So my two buddies went, and it's like, I don't know, $25 for the poster, right?
Right.
So they each bought two posters and then went and stood in the, you know, and watched the show. Well, while the show was going on, they slapped them on eBay, and they went for $150 before the show was over.
Wow.
Damn.
Can you imagine being a collector of those posters and having to come up with that money every day?
Right, every show. It's like, man, you'll never catch up.
I know a while back, a couple years ago, they did a Rock and Roll Over poster. It was the guys in Pearl Jam, but it was in the Rock and Roll Over, you know, cool paint job. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Dude, I was watching their actual Hall of Fame induction, and Mike McCready even kind of thanked Ace as being like his main influence, you know?
Which is crazy. Cool.
That's awesome, dude.
No, it is, but you know, listen to their styles. You know, it's
Even when they first came out, I was like, man, that dude plays like Ace. That's what I thought. Yeah. See, the problem with Pearl Jam, I think, and the sad part about Pearl Jam is like when they came out, they were fucking pretty original. You know, there wasn't really anything that sounded like that. But then, unfortunately, you know, in the years since then, every like douchebag Creed to fucking Nickelback is all like and kind of stole Eddie's thing, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of diluted it, and that's kind of where I jumped off, I think, was after their second record. They were just too big, you know?
Well, that's what happens with every band, you know. Once you get a band that gets big and gets popular and they're new and they're fresh and they're not like anything else out there, everybody tries to mimic them.
Right, and then it's just like the labels try to mimic them and go find someone to be like that, you know.
Yeah, that's right. They're like, hey, this worked for us, so let's find a band that'll sound like them and do what they're doing, you know.
Right, it's no different than the hair band generation. Everyone was trying to find their own Motley Crue, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Kiss before that, the Beatles. I mean, you could go all the way back. But anyhow, it's pretty cool how, like, you can't really, like, Kiss is everywhere in pop culture, and they're finally, like, so celebrated, and they get their due these days. You know what I mean? Like, you watch all kinds of anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Kiss comes up, or, you know, it's just their reach is so far stretching. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah, and it'll keep happening, especially once those 80s bands start getting in.
And especially once they die. I mean, I hate to bring up that subject. I know we try to avoid it, but you know what happens when a rock star dies? All of a sudden, everything they ever did was fucking genius, you know?
It's true.
So.
Hey, I meant to tell you guys, I saw Why Him.
Oh, did you finally watch it?
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. Karen and I watched it, and we laughed quite a bit. It was funny.
Really funny.
That was fucking hilarious.
Gene and Paul were super good. I was so surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of cool. It wasn't what you would expect of Kiss as in a cameo. You know, you didn't expect Gene to have that triangle and shit like that.
Now you get that part that I was saying that I wanted when we went to the Gene concert, I wanted to take that little triangle in the
bar. Yeah. That was so funny. If you guys out there haven't seen it yet, get it on pay-per-view. I recommend the $5 and My girlfriend and I, we really enjoyed it. It was super funny. It made me so uncomfortable though, because that guy just kept doing crazy shit. And
yeah, like he meets someone, has a fucking portrait on his back and shit.
So crazy.
Does it really say season's greetings?
Yeah. That so was funny. So the moral of this story is, in a few years, maybe you'll find an episode of PRC at the movies where we'll be talking about that one. But we can't do it since it's so fresh. Yeah. We got to give it a while, you know.
Give it a little bit. All right, so let's talk about our subject.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
The Big E, Eric Singer.
Yeah, Eric Singer.
Singer. Mr. Eric Doyle Menzinger.
Now I don't think we've ever done an Eric Singer show.
Oh, I don't think we have. What was that?
I think that was me. Mine was my computer.
Oh, okay.
I said, hey, have we ever done an Eric Singer? Ba-ba-bing! It's like my brain was thinking.
Like a subject has been chosen.
Yeah.
I'll take Eric Singer for 800.
Yeah, that's a daily double.
Right.
So, you know, I thought actually, Jody, you were the one that said, hey, let's talk about Eric Singer. And I'm, you know what? Yes.
Yeah, just because we haven't done it, I thought it might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So should we just kind of start with, like, when we first saw him in Kiss? I mean, I kind of knew about him because of Badlands before that.
Yeah, okay. But start there, okay? Because the first time I ever saw Dreams in the Dark video for Badlands, I remember thinking, watch this guy play drums. He was hitting the cymbals from underneath, you know, and I was just like, whoa, that's freaking cool. I have no idea who he is. I had no idea who he was, but I remembered him. He put such a vivid memory in, you know, because of watching him play drums in that video, that the minute I saw the picture of the band for Revenge, I knew who he was. I knew, oh my God, that's the guy from Badlands.
Yeah. I actually saw Badlands live, dude, and I didn't really know it at the time. I thought the drummer was killer and everything, but I had no idea that he would be in Kiss later. And you know what's funny is, like, I had this friend in school. He's like, holy shit, dude, Kiss got a new drummer. And he told me that they had that Blas Elias dude. He's like, I saw a video and they had Blas Elias playing drums. Oh. The dude from, like, Slaughter. I'm not 100% on the pronunciation of his name, but, you know, the fucking dude from Slaughter.
Slaughter.
So I was like, no, that can't be. But yeah, obviously it wasn't. But
he's done so much. You know, Eric Singer, you know, could go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for 5 different bands.
Yeah, he's a super solid drummer that's played with so many different people, you know, and a lot of famous people. You know, a lot of like Black Sabbath, Alice Cooper, Leo Ford. And a lot of those bands were kind of like maybe.
Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. Maybe.
He played with Newton-John?
Yeah, he was in that video. What was it? It was.
What was it?
Culture Shock.
Oh, yeah, Culture Shock. Have you seen it, Joe?
No, I'm going to have to watch it.
It's on YouTube. I looked it up.
He got that gig at the time because he was working with Lita Ford.
That's
weird. It's very strange, but it's like totally the way he plays, you know?
I might have seen it, but still, damn, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I think that good thing that, you know, that Paul did the solo tour. Otherwise, they might not have even hooked up with Eric and Kiss. You know what I'm saying?
Las Alias or whatever his name is.
Yeah. The Slaughter guy. I guess their hair looked kind of similar. That's why that dude thought it was him, you know?
Yeah, you know, I just remember, I had a roommate. Her name was Mikayla, and she like had blast picture. He was a good looking dude. She had his pictures all over the walls. He was in Rockstar too. Remember, he was in the drummer in like tribute band.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that. I like that movie.
They really stuck in a lot of rock stars in that movie. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
So Eric Singer, you know, he does all these things. He does all these Alice Cooper. He does Black Sabbath, like we've said, you know, and then Paul Stanley goes on tour, and like he says in his book, he started asking around. Everybody's like, you got to get this guy Eric Singer.
Right.
Little did he know that would change his life forever.
Totally. At the time, it was just kind of like, yeah, get this drummer. He's good. He can play my solo tour, you know.
Out to the Sandlot.
I think it's because Eric Carr sealed the deal with his prophetic moping that time when he's like, this is the guy that's going to replace me, you know?
Yeah, man. Now that, you know, can you imagine, like, being Eric Singer and Eric Carr is standing there looking at you and going, one day you're going to replace me in Kiss. And then it happens. Can you imagine? I mean, damn. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's nuts. I remember hearing an interview, or maybe I read it somewhere, but Eric Singer was saying that one of his first times he met Eric Carr was at one of those Paul gigs, and he was wearing a Zeppelin shirt like Eric always wore, and he didn't know Eric Carr at the time, you know, he didn't know that Eric Carr wore this Zeppelin shirt a lot, but there he is behind Paul with a Zeppelin shirt, and, you know, I bet you anything... We all love Eric Carr, but, I mean, you got to admit that Eric Singer was kind of like a step above, technically speaking, you know, drumming style-wise, where Eric was, you know, a little more, you know, Ringo Starr-ish, you could say, where, like, Eric Singer at that time was kind of very technical and, you know, way more than Eric Carr was. So he may have been threatened by his chops, you know?
Well, you know, and that can happen with any instrument, you know?
Totally.
You see one of your buddies playing with somebody else, and your head immediately goes, oh, yeah, I'm out. especially if you think the guy's better. If you're honest with yourself, yeah. You know what I mean?
That can happen. It just depends, unless you write the songs, and then what are they going to do without you, you know?
Check, check. That's how I stay in my bands.
Yeah, me too. I've always wrote all the songs for my bands.
Yeah, so... You know, so Eric gets sick, and then they've got to do a, you know, Paul does that tour, and it was pretty successful. It was small, you know, small tour.
Yeah, but it made a huge impact, Kiss Freaks. Yeah. You know, I never got to see it, you know, did you? I was too young. I think I was a little too young.
I wasn't too young, but I remember my buddy coming into my house and going, man, Kiss broke up, Paul Stanley's on tour, and I was like, fuck you. That shit happened. If he would have had a butcher knife close, I'd have cut him.
Oh shit!
For saying some shit like that. Man, don't
talk smack on Kiss or the Starchild.
That's like you know, in The Wedding Singer, where he asks her to please take off my Van Halen shirt before they break up, or you know. But yeah, man, you know it's so Paul. Does the tour, and then the first time I saw the video, I remember him, you know, Hide Your Heart. He did Hide Your Heart before.
Yeah, it was before Hot in the Shade came out, because at the time he was introing this new song, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
But then you know, Eric gets sick, and Kiss has been asked to be on the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 2 or whatever it is, Bogus Journey, or you know, and they record the song with Eric Singer. Now, Paul says that Eric tried his best to sound like Carr, you know, Eric Carr. I would have been able to tell the difference.
You don't think you could tell? I could tell the difference, I think.
Really?
Well, even just with, like, the triplets. Eric Carr never did triplets, really. You know, where it's like, ding, 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 you know that part?
Eric would never do that. Attention, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in hindsight it seems easier to tell or something, but I don't know. But it's definitely a little bit different than Eric Carr, even though he totally nailed those parts on the freaking video, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember we were driving down the road, and they had mentioned that Eric Carr was doing well and that he had shot the video. It was on the radio, the rock channel here, 96 Rock, and they had mentioned... you know, that he was doing fine, and he had shot the video. I remember being so excited when the video came out and I saw it for the first time, because not only were they showing the band, but they were showing all that old footage.
Right, yeah, like montage of like shit you might... Some of it was like Winterland, and it was really cool. It kind of reminded me of them kind of taking all the best shit from Exposed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool.
Sounds like a UFO.
It's probably the it's the damn... Yeah. No, I live pretty close to the damn Metrolink fucking train, so it's like...
There's the train. Oh, I live close to
it. Kicking up.
I'm on this side of the tracks.
I'm on the wrong side of the tracks.
Anyway, okay, so Eric does the video. You know, we're getting excited. We think everything's going to be okay. Boom.
I hate even remembering that day. Oof, that was terrible.
And it wasn't like today, you know, where I could wake up and, you know, turn on Fox News and find out Joni from Happy Days died.
Right, yeah. Man, people from the 70s are dropping like flies, dude.
Sad, man.
It's really sad.
So if I you know, so I had no idea. It was an evening. It was nighttime. I turned on MTV after work or some shit like that, and they mentioned Freddie Mercury immediately, and then on a side note, it was another sad news.
Right.
You know, Eric's gone. And at that point, I mean, I remember taking a walk. I was like, all right, I got to go out for a walk. I'm sad. You know, I don't know how to handle it, you know. But, you know, and not to skip over that or anything, but, you know, Kiss is, from what I guess we understand, they already had a plan, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it to death. But I don't like the way they did Eric Carr, man. They should have fucking at least waited along. They didn't have to do the one song for the movie. Who cares, you know, one song. They could have waited for Eric Carr. But
yeah.
You've heard me drone on about that a million times. But yeah. I still just can't get over it. I just don't think that was a shitty thing to do to the guy. Yeah, they could have waited. And
the other thing is here's the upside, okay? Paul realizes it.
Yeah.
You know, it unfortunately it had to be a life lesson to him. You know?
Yeah. It sucks that it was at Eric Carr's expense, though, you know?
Sure, sure. But at the same time, you know, it's almost like, and I hate this, but I kind of got the feeling that he kind of blamed himself, you know, for Eric.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, think about it, man. What we know of Eric Carr, right? Obviously, we didn't know the guy, but we know his whole ego and his whole pride and his whole... self-worth was based on being the drummer in Kiss, and then
right.
You know, you're in the hospital with heart problems and your fucking band dudes are like, oh, we can't wait, we're gonna do this song without you. It's bogus, dude. Yep,
it is. But surely they didn't sit back and go, surely they weren't worried about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe they didn't think it was as serious as it was. I'll give them that, but still, it just leaves such a shitty taste in my mouth.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, like for someone that I look up to, like Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons for that matter, to like treat another person in their band so shittily, if that's a word, so crummy. It's just like, I don't know. I don't like seeing my heroes be dicks, basically.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? This is a good segue, so we'll take a break for 1 second. Shittily needs to be a t-shirt.
Shittily.
Listen, we put up a new Redbubble.
We got a new merch store. We always thought it was cool of Ken to put us on his, but we wanted to do our own, you know, and just have control of it and do our other designs and shit like that. So anyway, we got a new merch store on Redbubble, so you go check it out. We got some classic designs, our logo, different logos. We have an Alive 277 style logo that you can get on a shirt now or on anything else, and we got some other cool shit there, so go check it out.
Yeah, how do they find it? They just go to Redbubble and type in Podcast Rock City.
Yeah,
sweet.
Pretty easy to find. Yep. And the cool thing is, it has our updated logo because the old store kind of had the old one that we quit using about a year or two ago. So yay, we got a new store. Go check it out, people.
Check it out.
Podcast Rock City.
Yeah.
If it's too loud, you're too old.
Uh, Okay, so let's see. So
we got to get to the most important thing about this whole episode right now, though. Okay.
Go.
How did you feel having a blonde person in Kiss?
You know, I remember the first time I saw the picture, I recognized who he was immediately, you know? And, of course, that was one of the first thoughts that came to my mind was, you know, I just remember that, you know, I'm wondering if they just, I remember sitting there and going, they must have just said, fuck it, you know?
Yeah. Strange, though, that, you know, when he does don the cat makeup, why did he have to dye his hair black then? You know, why not have it just be him, blonde?
Yeah. No, hey.
It would look weird,
I don't
yes.
I think it never really mattered to me. I mean, I remember seeing it and thinking, oh, wow, they finally got a guy with blonde hair. You know, and I don't really think it ever really bothered me, you know, that they went with somebody blonde, you know, because I didn't really think it was that big of a big deal.
No.
You know, but... Yeah, at the same time, I mean, I agree with you, though, you know, with, okay, well, then, if he was going to dye his hair, you know, for the makeup, you know.
But it does make more sense with the makeup.
Did he really have to? Or was he doing it just to keep the persona going because Peter Criss had the black hair? I mean, do you really think it would have mattered if he would have just kept the blonde hair and just put the Catman makeup on?
Maybe it didn't look good. That's a possibility that they tried it. They put it on him.
Kiss is kind of iconic for having the four goth dudes before goth was a word, you know?
The blue black hair.
Jet
and
black. Sean Delaney style, son.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm in a weird mood today. Just a little
That's
high.
All like when Faster Pussycat, they all went from blonde hair, dyed it all black.
Yeah.
That was weird. That was weird. That was way weirder than having a blonde dude in Kiss.
Yeah. Right.
Changing your whole style to be like Manson when you were like this awesome trashy dolls sleaze band, you know?
Right.
Whole like military type thing too, where they were like marching on stage.
It's weird. I think that came from either Manson or maybe Motley Crue even.
Unfortunately, I think I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. So he gets in the band, right? And Revenge, you know, the tour. You know, it wasn't like when Eric Carr got in the band and had to do, you know,
no feathers involved.
No, yeah, it wasn't anything like that. Well, he thought he would be the hawk, but, you know, a big bird. But, you know, when Eric Carr joined the band, the band was, lost musically, and they went and did The Elder, whereas Kiss, when Eric Singer joined the band, they were coming out of a funk, you know, where they were going, yeah. Oh, we need to go back to our roots.
Right.
So he was definitely luckier.
Yeah, but it's interesting, though. It's like Kiss had been kind of on the upswing from the Hot in the Shade tour, but the Revenge tour was certainly a downswing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, and you got to wonder why, you know.
This is blonde hair, dude. People weren't having it. They're like, fuck this dude and his blonde hair. No, but my only critique of Eric at that time is I didn't really like how he was kind of like, playing, making the Kiss songs have double bass and shit like that. I know most people did, but I didn't, you know?
Well, I think it just...
It was like an updated sound, like they were trying to be heavier, and I get that, but I much prefer the way Eric plays now, you know?
I don't look at it that way. I think, you know, if you look back at it all, each, you know, every time they got a new member, each person, you know, contributed their own style, you know. I mean, Mark St. John, Bruce Kulick did, Vinnie Vincent did, right. You know, Eric Carr did.
Point, D Rock. That's a good point.
That is a good point.
You know, when he gets in there, you know, it's like if you go and listen to them now, you know, that's definitely Eric Singer's drumming on. You know, if you close your eyes and somebody were to say, "Hey, look, check it out. Listen, Peter Criss is on the drums," you'd be like, no, he's not.
No.
You know, so it's almost like, you know, I'm not saying, okay, here's the thing. I'm not saying that he made it better, right? I'm not saying that he made the music better, but he definitely made it different.
Yeah. I think that in the long run, he did make the music better because It was only really on the Revenge tour where he's going all ape shit, you know. But if you look at like even just the Unplugged gig, he is fucking right where you want him to be. Like, not overly technical, but definitely has his chops technical enough that it's pretty freaking amazing, you know. But it's not all double bass or anything. But look at like what he does on like Going Blind or something, you know what I mean? Or Got to Choose. It's amazing, dude. It's totally killer, and it's exactly where he's kind of stayed ever since, I feel, which is a very big bonus, because at first it was just he was a little too busy, you know. But that's what Kiss wanted him to do, you know.
Yeah, and they definitely he definitely changed their sound, you know. It's
yeah, he's so solid, you know.
Yeah, so did Eric Carr, and you know,
I think that of all the Kiss drummers, he is the most like solid or tight, you know. Like Eric Carr, we all love him, I mean, I love the way he played, but his meter was a little bit up and down time to time, you know what I mean? And obviously, you know, in the 80s, he was playing really fast, but I dig that, you know, but, and that's what Kiss wanted. But even within that, sometimes his meter is just kind of up and down, you know what I mean? But he's a human. It happens.
Yeah, you know.
But I'm really happy with Eric, you know, in Kiss. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great drummer, and I don't want anybody else. At this point, especially.
No, definitely not anyone new.
This is the guy. He's truly family to the Kiss.
Yeah.
You know, just like I feel the same way about Tommy. You know, we don't need anybody else. We got Tommy.
Yeah.
And when you go to see them live, they bring it, you know.
No, yeah, that's great.
Well, as anybody, and Eric Singer, you know, one of the things that I like about him is apparently he don't put up with Gene and Paul's shit.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there long enough. He can give some back, right?
Yeah, you know, it feels like he, you know, from what I can read and listen to in his interviews, you know, he's just like, he's not afraid to, you know, flick Gene in the balls, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also cool that, you know, he's one of the, him and Tommy are the guys that are pushing Kiss, and they were fans of Kiss, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Eric Carr wasn't really necessarily a big Kiss fan, you know, like Eric Singer saw Kiss in 74 and 75, you know, so it's, he's been there, and he knows what they're about, so it's cool, he's a perfect fit. Probably yeah. A better fit than Eric Carr was, even though, you know, I love the Eric Carr and his whole era, but I do believe that Singer is probably a better fit. Because he can do any style.
Yeah, he has definitely brought it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's also better, too, you know, that both of them started off as Kiss fans, too, because, you know, they already got a feel for the sound, you know, that Kiss wants. They know how to play it. They know what, you know, is expected of them. And plus, you know, that way, being a fan also gives them the insight on, like, as a fan, you know, that, you know, the fans would want, you know, because they know what they were expecting from Kiss when they were fans. And having that history kind of gives them a little bit of an edge and an insight, you know. For being like the perfect match, you know, to be the candidates for playing in Kiss, you know.
Totally.
Hey, you know, they made a movie about it. It wasn't necessarily about, you know, Tommy Thayer, like some people think, but...
You know, another big bonus having Eric in the band is his freaking vocal ability. That dude can sing, man, and he perfectly harmonizes with Paul and Gene. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know, and they were, you know, and I mean, they talk about it, you know, that in their books, you know, they're like, you know, Paul, Eric's like, what part do you want me to sing?
Right, and he handles all the high shit now that Paul can't even touch, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, he's like Kiss's secret weapon in a whole lot of ways, you know?
Yeah. It would be really cool to get him on the show sometime and just pick his brain, you know?
Yeah, it would. I'd definitely be into that.
So, but let's keep going, because there's a little more craziness, you know? We're talking about him being in Kiss, but you got to remember, man, he was in and then he was out.
Yeah, two I was going to say, we got to get to where he kind of got screwed over. Yeah,
two records, boom, he's in. Boom, he's out. And then, you know, that he all that work they put into, you know, into the one record doesn't even come out like with a real release.
Right.
You know. And then he's out. The tour, you know, the reunion tour goes on. And, you know, and we're talking years. We're not talking, you know, where he was like, yeah, you know, it's just like genius to say you're always going to be that guy that was in Kiss, you know.
Right.
So, you know, he you know, for so many people, he'll never be, oh, you were Alice Cooper's drummer. No, it's always going to be you were Kiss's drummer, you know. And so you got so. You know, all these years go by, 96, 97, 98, and then all of a sudden they're doing the farewell tour, right, in 2000, and they're getting ready to go to Australia, and Peter says, I'm not going.
Yeah, they called his bluff.
This was the farewell tour. So Peter says, I'm not going to Australia. I'm not going unless you give me more money, and they said, all right, see you later. Slapped that makeup on Eric Singer, and he said, sure. You know, he's a hired gun at that, you know.
Right.
He's like, I'll you know, shoot, this will be fun.
Hell yeah, dude. All those shandies from 1980 are grown women in 2000, you know what I'm saying?
Right, which is what Peter should have been saying. Hey, this is going to be fun. Nope, money. But I don't want to bring up that old wound. Anyway.
So what did you think the first time you saw him in the makeup? I mean, what did you think, Joe?
Well, okay, so the first time I saw him in the makeup, somebody had posted I don't want to say it was the internet. I want to say it was a video. I saw a bootleg video of them in Japan.
Okay.
And you could see the fans did not care. They never said that's Peter Criss, you know.
Right.
The first picture I ever saw, I want to say, was on like eBay. It was short after because people were selling the insert pictures for the tour book.
Okay.
You know, so they got the Japan tour book, and they were having to take out Peter's pictures and slap Eric's in. And the first time I saw it, I thought, man, his makeup looks, you know, very precise, like somebody else is doing it, you know?
Yeah.
The first time I ever realized anybody ever had a problem with it, because I didn't, you know, was walking in my friend Lee Westy's house, the Goddess of Thunder, and I walked into her house, and as soon as you opened the door, there was a wanted poster right in front of you where it was, you know, Eric Singer wanted for impersonating a rock and roll icon or whatever. It was ridiculous. You know?
Yeah, but I think Eric, having been in Kiss before, softened that blow for people. That's why people flipped out about Tommy, I think, more than Eric, because at least he'd been in the band before, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, he's played with them before, he's in the band again, you know, and now they're doing the makeup thing, so it's just, it's kind of right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, I thought that was ridiculous. You know, I think it was on the wall just for humor, right. You know? So that was the first time I ever realized anybody had a problem with it. I was just like, why would anybody have a problem? It's just my band's still on tour, you know?
Right. Somebody's got to do the job.
Yeah. And it's farewell anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like a handful of shows.
Right. So we thought anyways.
Yeah. So fast forward again, you know, they stop playing, you know, they retire, and then another Australian show pops up, you know, the symphony. So Eric Singer was in the band, then they retired, then they go to do something again, you know, the symphony, and they don't need Eric. So, you know, he goes to do his thing again, and, he's kind of like that girlfriend, you know, that ex-girlfriend. That, like, no matter what, if you call her,
yeah, you can still get it.
Just for the record, I have no girls like that. Anyway,
just a couple few.
You're gonna get me in trouble. Okay, so
yeah, playmates and shit, and like penthouse pets and all that.
I'm not talking about this.
Edit that out.
Okay, no, you don't have to edit it out. It's funny. Okay, so Kiss goes on tour again, and, you know, Peter is right back up to his no good. So at that point, you know, Eric comes back in, and they know, Paul and Gene know it's for good.
But does Eric, do you think they came to him and like, look, you're going to be the guy?
Let me tell you, I bet you every night Eric Singer puts his head on the pillow, he thinks tomorrow might be the day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, Bruce said that, you know, it was something that he lived with every day all the way up until it happened. There was always a chance going to go in a reunion. So, you know, even I would like to think that they wouldn't do that to Eric this time, you know, or ever again. You know, I would like
never do it again. No,
I would like to think that that wouldn't happen.
I don't think it would. But yeah, it's. So he's in a weird position, you know?
Yeah, you know, but it's just, and he's been solid ever since, you know? And look, he's gotten them to do, he's gotten that band to do all kinds of things, you know? I'm not a big fan of the last two records, but I don't at the same time think they're garbage. They're just not, you know, I just don't like it. All of it, you know,
right.
But when do I hardly ever do I like all of a record, but you know, he gets them singing, you know, and I don't know, man, it's just me. It's just, I really think that he is much more of an influence on Paul and Gene than, you know, in a sneaky way. I'll say in a sneakily way.
Totally though. Yeah.
He might manipulate the situation, you know. He might be like, you know, it would be really cool.
Yeah, it's like him and Tommy just, they'll walk into rehearsal and they'll be just jamming shit and they'll be rocking. And then Gene and Paul are probably like, what's that? And they're like, dude, this Mr. Speed, you wrote that song. Or whatever, you know. But yeah, I think that he's of the Kiss dudes. I've always felt that Eric and Tommy, to a certain degree, are the most accessible dudes in Kiss. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll hang around a little bit longer and talk to you longer than Gene or Paul would. You know what I'm saying? You get a little more out of them. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, they definitely, it's been, even when you're on the cruise, Eric seems to wander around even more than Tommy. But, you know, I've seen Tommy wandering around, you know.
Right.
By the way, and speaking of the cruise, I did get a message from somebody asking me if I was going to be on it. Somebody messaged us on Podcast Rock City's Facebook page, and I said that I was going to be there, and they were like, Jody's a wuss. I was like, what is he afraid of? Get him on the boat.
Here's my deal. I'll make this deal on air just with you and the Kiss Army. If Kiss wants me on there bad enough, they'll make it happen. So basically, yeah, it's never happening.
Yeah.
But if they were like, hey, you guys want to do a little something on the boat? I'd be like, yep, sure do.
There.
But otherwise, no.
So, you know, Eric's been, you know, he was even pretty, you know, he was good in the Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Eric's cool, man. It's like, I think of him as just as much a member of Kiss as anyone else, you know. He's cool.
Yeah. Do you think that I wonder why him and Tommy weren't in the you know, that movie? I wonder.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too, because it was like, this is Kiss, and it was only Gene and Paul, which, you know, basically is Kiss when it all comes down to it. But you know what I'm saying? I'm wondering why Tommy and Eric, I guess maybe they didn't have like a Screen Actors Guild card or some shit like that.
Maybe. But you know, they did that. You remember that commercial? What was that commercial for Parents That Need to Rock or something like that? Did you ever see that?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah, there's like, it's I don't know what it's from. It's like a spoof where
I think I saw one at, whether at Walmart or something.
Now there's that one, but there's another one where they're walking down the street and they're talking about Parents That Need to Rock and shit like that. And
that's cool.
Anyway, I'll
see if I can dig it up.
Hi, we're Kiss. There's something you should know about us. We love kids.
Maybe that's because the last U.S. Census proved that 44% of all children conceived between 1972 and 1984 were conceived at a Kiss concert.
By Gene.
That's why we've joined the Helping Parents to Rock movement.
We're on patrol 24/7.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got a code red. Over there.
Never fear. Kiss is here.
Nice makeup.
I'm sorry your parents ruined your birthday. Flip. But Kiss is going to make it all better. Yes, we love to rock, but not as much as we love helping parents to rock.
Yeah, we're gonna need you to sign this waiver.
KISS assumes no liability for kids helped by KISS.
Yeah, Eric Singer.
Hell yeah, man. I'm glad we got the guy in the band.
He's my KISS drummer.
Yeah, I mean, mine too. And, you know, when I was first into KISS, Eric Carr was kind of my guy. But I think that Eric Singer's been there longer now, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot longer. And, you know, I think that he took over where Eric left off. And I think that, you know, even though it was worrisome for Eric Carr that, you know, Eric Singer, he, you know, believed that he was going to take his place, I still, you know, believe that, you know, if Eric's looking down from heaven, he's not unhappy. I think he's happy, you know. I would believe that. That's me, you know. Yeah. I think that, you know, anybody that's unhappy with Eric Singer's drumming, you know, is got to be crazy.
Clearly has issues.
Yeah, yes. You could be upset, you know, whatever, about the makeup. Go right ahead. That doesn't bother me either. But, you know, if you're ever going to think that he's not a good drummer, yeah, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but he's the best drummer KISS has ever had.
What do you think, D-Rock? Are they crazy?
I think they're all fucking idiots if they don't like Eric Singer. I mean, and it's just like what Jody just said. I mean, Eric Singer is the perfect fit for that band. You know, I mean, even though Peter Criss started off with them, you know, and then they went through Eric Carr, and Eric Carr's great, and I love Eric Carr, you know, but still, I mean, when you look at it all in all, Eric Singer was the perfect choice to go with, you know, and they'd be stupid if they got rid of him.
Yeah. Totally. All right. Yeah. So, all right. So that was our Eric Singer talk. But now Jody has put together one of our infamous.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no. Do that again, D-Rock.
Dun, dun, dun.
We need to make sure we use that every show. We'll call it the infamous.
Yeah.
Sweet 16. If you don't know what our Sweet 16 is, Jody puts together a list of 16 things that have to do with a specific subject of KISS. This one will be Eric Singer, and the three of us vote on them, and just like basketball, Sweet 16 style, we have 16, then we have 8, then we have 4, then we have 2, and winner takes it all. If you guys haven't listened to, you guys got to go and listen to the new KST episode, because they did this big elimination thing.
Yeah, the evisceration game. Really cool.
Yeah. And where they eliminate every song except for one off of the first, you know, group of KISS records.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Makeup.
It's kind of like a reverse Sweet 16 or something.
Yeah, and only one song's left. So when you're listening, you know, when they're doing it, one of you guys is, you know, what's the best song on the Love Gun album? And somebody says, not Love Gun. Remove it. You know?
Yeah, that's cool. Like, that's a great idea. I wish we would have thought of it.
Chance KST, History Science Theater, you know, subscribe to them. They're awesome. You know, did you notice that when they said that when they eliminated Strange Ways, they apologized to you?
Yeah, I heard that. Thanks, fellas.
They're like, man, I'm sad, but I got to get rid of Strange Ways. Sorry, Jody.
Speaking of shout-outs given, thanks, Ethan and Clint, for the shout-out on the recent Metal Up Your Podcast. We dig that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. All right, so let's do this. Sweet 16.
Podcast Rock City, Sweet 16.
All right, Sweet 16. Yes, Sweet 16.
What are we waiting for?
Let's stop this pussyfooting around.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sweet 16. All right, listen.
What is the topic?
These are just all various songs that Eric's played on with Kiss. So the records, you know, pulling songs of Revenge, Carnival, Sonic Boom, Monster.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So in the first round, we're talking God Gave Rock and Roll to You versus Hate. So it's kind of like a battle of the opposites kind of deal.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm going with Hate on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. God gave rock and roll to you, but I mean, it's just not my cup of tea, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to go with God Gave Rock and Roll to You, although Eric is a basher on Hate.
Oh, yeah. The drums are killer on Hate, but I got to go God Gave Rock and Roll to You as well. I'm not a big Carnival guy. I think we've done that episode, so yeah, you probably know that.
Yeah, I know. That's why you listened to the album once and then gave it to me.
I've done that quite a few times in my Kistory, huh?
Yeah, I didn't have to pay for quite a few of my CDs or whatever. Jody listened to them once. Meh. Gave them to me.
At least cool. Keep it in the fam, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, how about Modern Day Delilah versus Freak?
I'm going to go with Modern Day Delilah.
Really?
I'm going with Freak.
I got to go Freak too, man. It's just such a great, one of those great Kiss tunes. It's kind of what they're all about, you know? It's like a mission statement. It's groovy. All right, so how about All for the Glory versus Unholy? That's too fucking obvious, I think, but we'll see.
Yeah, Unholy.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Too obvious. How about...
Wow, Jody actually liked one of my songs off the Revenge album.
Unholy's a good song, dude. I've always loved that one. How about Shout Mercy versus Spit?
Spit.
Now, thinking Ragnar on Spit, okay?
Yeah, I agree with Spit.
You guys are fucking nuts. But I'll accept it.
You have no choice. It's 2-1.
Right. Yeah, how about Hell or Hallelujah versus Childhood's End?
Oh, man, I like both those songs.
Yeah, they're both great songs.
I'm going to throw Hell or Hallelujah at you for my pick.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you guys are fucking nuts.
Sorry for my language out there, folks, and to you, Joe.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I know. But still, just in case, man, you know, in case there's some kids, man, don't talk like us. We're uncouth.
Yeah, it's true.
We're old, angry old men.
Yeah. How about Wall of Sound versus Domino?
Oh, man, I like Domino.
I'm actually going with Domino.
Going with Domino.
Yeah. I just don't like the whole Gene as ZZ Top that he does on Domino. That bugs me, but I'll accept it. How about Paralyzed versus The Jungle?
Damn.
I'm going with The Jungle.
I think I'm going with The Jungle too, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow, a Carnival of Souls song advances. Cool. How about Take It Off versus Say Yeah?
Well, Jody's going with Say Yeah. He seems to like that song.
Take It Off.
I'll go with Take It Off.
All right. I think I probably would have went Take It Off, too. I like Say Yeah, but Take It Off more has a great guitar tone.
Yeah.
Okay, so round two. You guys ready for this one?
Yeah.
Freak versus God Gave Rock and Roll to You. You know, sometimes it gets tough.
I hate to say it, but I'm actually going with God Gave Rock and Roll for that one.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah, I'm going with Freak.
Yeah, me too. Hell yeah. Freak's where it's at, D-Rock. You should know.
I know. You big freak. It too, but... I figured since I didn't give it its due on the first round, I'd give it to it on its second round, but...
I hear you. How about Unholy versus Spit?
Oh, damn. I'm still going with Unholy.
Me too.
Yeah, obviously. Hell or Hallelujah versus Domino.
Ooh.
Damn.
I'm going with Hell or Hallelujah.
D-Rock? D-Rocky Dennis?
Fuck you. I agree with Joe.
With what? Hell or Hallelujah?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I would have chose, too. Okay, Jungle versus Take It Off. Pardon me.
I will go with the Jungle.
Yeah, Jungle was more heavier on that one.
Cool. Man, Jungle's going to win this shit unless it's Unholy, isn't it? We'll find out. Round three has Freak versus Unholy. Uh-oh.
D-Rock's about to pop. There's his lung.
There goes one lung.
Sorry, did you catch it? I hope it didn't hit the floor. We're
gonna splatter on in. Bruce.
Mouth open, we're pushing it back in.
You know what Amber was telling me the other day, D-Rock? Sorry, this is totally off subject. I'll probably edit it out. But you know how my cat's named Peter Chris? Bruce. Yeah. D-Rock's dog is named Bruce, the freaking audio dog. How cool. Oh, really? She's like, it's weird you guys have kiss animals. I'm like, who are you talking about? Obviously, we have kiss animals.
Yeah, I got Bruce. Jody's got Peter.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. But anyway, it's totally off the subject.
Animal's name is Jace.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So round three. We got Freak versus Unholy.
I'll go Unholy.
Do you rock?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think that if Freak had the production that Unholy had, it might be a different story. But yeah, I'd have to go Unholy. How about Hell or Hallelujah versus The Jungle?
The Jungle. I love Eric's drumming in that.
Yeah, it's like tribal.
Me too.
You going Jungle, D-Rock?
Yeah.
All right, Jungle will advance. And it comes down to the final round, dude. Unholy versus The Jungle.
Sweet. Damn. Can we call a tie?
I guess so. It's our deal.
I would say, man, it's like, it's because in The Jungle, man, he's so much more free.
He's right. Like primal, you know?
Yeah.
Unholy's got that awesome breakdown part in the middle, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Like right before the solo.
Oh, yeah, that part's killer. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I'm
going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to start us off. I'm going to say Jungle because Unholy's too fucking predictable.
I'm going to go Unholy so D-Rock has to break the tie. I don't think he has ever had to.
Nope.
My God.
The humanity.
Right now, there's people going, don't you say it, D-Rock. Don't you pick the wrong song.
You're going to get hate mail.
As much as I love that song, I'm going with Unholy.
Oh, shit. Unholy takes it. I mean, but I kind of thought it would.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about Eric joining the band, that's the first song that we all kind of were like, holy shit, man. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see it, and yeah.
Unholy takes
it. Something about the Sweet 16s, they always kind of get down to the point of it, and even though we all have different views, the answer always ends up working out the way you think it should.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening today. We appreciate it very, very, very much. Don't forget, you can catch us on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, YouPorn. Just about everywhere. And I said YouPorn and nobody said a thing.
What was it?
YouPorn.
Oh.
You can find us anywhere that podcasts are sold.
Yes, that is true. Anyway, and you know, check it all out, man. Check it out. Check out all the old shows. Download them. Trade them. You know, let us know what you think. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. You know, I can't go in anywhere where they got to ask me for my email address because I'm always going, CastRockCity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. I sound like a commercial.
If anybody found my other half of my lung, please send it back to me.
And you can send us emails, and I'll forward them to Jody, and I'll forward them to D-Rock or whoever. And give us an idea. Next week, we are going to have a special guest. We're doing the Rockin' Pod Expo in Nashville, and one of the perks that we put out there was if somebody donated $100 to the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo, that they would be able to come on the show with the three of us, pick the subject, and do the show, and we'll put it out. And somebody did it. So next week you'll get to meet him. And don't forget, there's still one out there where if you donate $100 to the Nashville Rock and Pods Expo, you will be able to come on the radio show with us and pick the music. So, which would be really cool because everybody wants to be the DJ when they're driving in their car, man. You know, well, a lot of times we are. Anyway, so, Joe, do you have anything to add?
I would add, as usual, thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget about our new Redbubble merch store. Get yourself some podcast Rock City swag, and thanks for listening. Yeah.
Absolutely. D-Rock.
I just wanted to say thanks for listening, and thanks for dealing with hearing me hacking up along here, you know.
Absolutely.
Still really sore from surgery, you know, so.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Today was the anniversary in 92 of Eric's very first gig with Kiss, so that's kind of cool that it came up today.
Yeah, and we didn't know that before we did the show, when we decided on the subject, because it was ago and last week was Easter, so we skipped it, and so this worked out really well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely. We love Kiss Podcasts. We love podcasts. We listen to them all the time, and we play their commercials after the show, and you're going to hear them in 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best, and if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f- oh, f- Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
Kiss podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan, with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.